Forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray, but you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart that broods on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart? In blazing light your cross reveals the truth we dimly knew. What trivial debts are owed to us, how great.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. We send a special greeting and our affections to those who are with us in their homes. May God be with us both as we approach the throne of grace now, the third week of Lent. Not quite halfway yet. We want to make the most of this season, to turn more deeply to God. We begin this liturgy as we always do, with searching our hearts, with the grace of God, so that we may see where we are weak, where we have failed, where we need to go to the throne of grace for mercy and the help we need. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Father, you have taught us to overcome our sins by prayer, fasting, and works of mercy. When we are discouraged by our weakness, give us confidence in your love. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Invite our children who are here to come forward now. As you have your own presentation of God's word to us. Christians believe that the Bible is a different book from any other. And because it's God's word to us, it's alive. And we want that alive word now to touch our hearts. And we pray that God bless you as you hear this special presentation for how God wants to work in your life in this season of Lent. May God bless you now. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in fire flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. He answered, Here I am. God said, Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your fathers, he continued, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But the Lord said, I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt, and have heard their cry of complaint against their slave drivers. So I know well what they are suffering. Therefore, I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and lead them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses said to God, But when I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, if they ask me, What is his name? What am I to tell them? God replied, I am who am. Then he added, This is what you shall tell the Israelites. I am sent me to you. God spoke further to Moses, Thus shall you say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Thus am I to be remembered through all generations. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under a cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate of the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert. These things happened as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil things as they did. Do not grumble as some of them did, and suffer death by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and they have been written down as a warning to us, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus, King of endless glory, Savior of the world, Savior of the world. Praise to you, Lord Jesus, King of endless glory, Savior of the world, Savior of the world. Turn to the Lord with all your heart, for the time of salvation is here. Praise to you, Lord Jesus, King of endless glory, Savior of the world, Savior of the world.
The Lord be with you.
With you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Our second reading said, all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down. These things happened as an example for us, so that we might not desire evil things as they did. Jesus said in the gospel today, do not think that because these Galileans read Haitians, Chileans, any random victim of violence, do not think that these suffered in this way because they were greater sinners than the rest. By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. In the last sentence of the gospel, and the gardener said to the master, leave the tree for a short time. Let me tend it. Then, if it does not bear the fruit you require, cut it down. If we're listening, these are strong words. God was not pleased, struck down. Examples for us. If you don't repent, you'll all perish as they did. And Jesus, our advocate, the gardener, pleading our case to the Father, one more chance. Give it a little time. And if that doesn't work, cut it down. Does that sound like good news? Of course, you know it is. We need the right diagnosis before the proper cure can be applied. We need to know what's wrong before we make things right. We need to know the truth about our sin. Otherwise, we're the one with a bulging tumor on our forehead that everybody can see but us. Lent is a season, like an annual visit to the doctor, where we hear the truth about our sin in a special way this season. It's why we wear purple. It's why it's called a penitential season. And of course, why the church recommends additional opportunities for the sacrament of reconciliation, like we do here next week, Tuesday at 1, Thursday at 7. We get a decent crowd, maybe more than most, but not what we should. Apart from our school and religious education children who are required to go, I generously estimate that about 1 out of 10 registered parishioners go to confession at least once a year. 1 out of 10. I roughly estimate it's a significant minority of those who attend church on Sunday. Obviously, we don't keep statistics. I would ask how many here haven't been to confession in over a year, but for many, it would either be a source of embarrassment or a temptation to lie. And believe me, I have no interest in doing either. One conclusion you can draw from this would be that folks aren't going to confession because we're all a bunch of saints. Is that what you think? Then I remember that Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul went to confession once a week. Good Lord Jesus, by that standard, I need to go on the hour. We should have more people going to confession during Lent than we have people who come to church at Christmas. Why is that not the case? Now I'm speaking directly to those who have not been to confession for a long time, at least a year. Why have you not gone? Some of this is the fault of the church. I think some people have mistakenly gotten the notion that the church doesn't believe in confession and sin and judgment in the same way we used to. This is insane. But if we don't hear about these things from priests and catechists in a regular way, articulating the truth, then shame on us. For too long we've endured this nonsense that God won't send anybody to hell. As if Jesus never said the path is wide that leads to destruction and many there are that go there. For too long we've practiced the silly opinion that talking about sin and judgment will make people feel bad. As if avoidance and denial will make reality go away. Sometimes we don't go to confession because, well, frankly, we're embarrassed. Fair enough. So am I. Come on, we're all afraid of lots of stuff. We're afraid of leaving home for kindergarten. We're afraid to go out on a first date, a big job interview. Some of us are afraid of standing on the scale in the morning. We may be reluctant, but we do it. Where would we be if we only did the things we felt like doing? So why don't we go to confession? I think it's mostly because we don't know how badly we need it. How often does the Catholic Church say you should go to confession? It recommends all go frequently, even for venial sins. Do you think Mother Teresa went weekly because she had mortal sins? Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if at times she thought so. A sensitized conscience is deeply wounded by failures of love. A saint is all too aware of spiritual things. Sinners are often stuck in denial, in willful oblivion. But what does the church require? What would you say? It requires the yearly confession of grave sin. Grave sin is technical, theological lingo for mortal sin. A mortal wound is a fatal wound. A mortal sin causes spiritual death, not injury. Death. Catholics used to be afraid of committing a mortal sin. Now our all too common casual indifference looks to me like playing marbles in the freeway at rush hour. We're oblivious to our peril. Do we still believe in mortal sin? Not to make light of this, but in an image that's hard to get out of my mind, in the words of a current TV commercial, does a 10-pound bag of flour make a really big biscuit? Yes. Do we still believe in hell? Hell? Yes. Do we still believe that unconfessed mortal sin condemns one to eternal damnation? Yes. What do we think that's about? That's why Jesus came, to save us. So how do you commit a mortal sin? Three things are necessary. Folks, this is like Catechism 101. This is the basics. We should all know this, but we don't. I repeat it all the time. This is like my first grade coach, my little league coach, telling me to keep the ball between my legs when I'm trying to ground. Somebody learning to play golf and say, keep your head down. This is basics. Three things necessary to commit a mortal sin. An action needs to be grave matter. Needs to be serious. Mortal sin material. You can't commit mortal sin by jaywalking. Needs to be grave matter. You need to know that it's grave matter, and you need to freely choose to do it. Number one, it needs to be grave matter. Where are some areas that I think Catholics today are committing mortal sins, grave matter? Missing Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. Through our own fault. Now, sometimes we miss not through our own fault. We miss not intentionally. It's appropriate to miss Mass if you're sick, can't make it, if the weather is bad, you're afraid of going out, you don't want to infect others, you're caring for those who are sick. Sometimes when we're traveling, unavoidable and necessary work. Things that keep one from doing something one wants to do. These aren't reasons to get you out of doing what you don't want to do in the first place. Missing Mass through your own fault, intentionally. Approaches like, I got better things to do. Life is busy. I'm tired. I don't get anything out of it. I don't think it's necessary. I don't need to go to church to pray. Well, that's certainly the case, but that's not the point. That doesn't absolve you from your solemn obligation. We need to rebuild our conscience on the seriousness of disobeying the law of God. What are other areas of grave matter? Using the name of God in vain. God's name is holy. To be revered and worshipped. The cutting, destructive, malicious use of our tongues. The Bible says we cut and slice with our tongue. Sexual behavior outside of a sacramental marriage between a man and a woman. Getting an abortion or encouraging someone else to get one. Blatant refusal to forgive others. Forgive me, Lord, as I forgive others, we pray. Spiritual indifference, apathy, laziness, hard-hearted stubbornness to let God in. Violent anger, physical abuse, calculated and vicious racism, selfish absorption and greed that refuses to share with those who have less and are in need. This is not an exhaustive list. It needs to be grave matter. Number two, you need to know that it's grave matter. When I was growing up, I don't think this was much of a problem. We knew what was wrong. Do you think people don't know the things I mentioned are seriously wrong? Sometimes people will say, well, Father, so-and-so, he said such-and-such was okay. That happens. I don't know if there's anything that angers me so much as rightful church authorities willfully contradicting clear church teaching. I remember the words of Jesus, woe to those who lead little ones astray. And I think the church has done a poor job of talking about how different we need to be from the corrupt world, a godless world around us. And we have to just stop being embarrassed about holiness. But by and large, as much but not as much as we used to be. I think most of us know what is seriously wrong. Number one, grave matter. Two, you need to know that it's grave matter. And number three, this is the one you write on your hand, okay? Take a clue from Sarah Palin. Cheat a little. Write this one on your hand. You need to freely choose to do it. You think everyone who does any of the things I mentioned above commits a mortal sin? Unfortunately, a lot of people think that's the case. You may be surprised that I spend more time in confession, to those who go, explaining why people did not commit what they thought was a mortal sin, because they didn't fulfill all three things. If you forgot it was a holy day, it can't be a mortal sin. You may be liable for bad habits. If you want to have an abortion, but the priests tell you it's okay, your parents are pressuring you to do it, your boyfriend threatens to leave you, you're young, poor, alone, confused, and terrified, you're not freely choosing to do it. Doesn't make it right. Just not as serious as if you freely chose it. If you said something in anger before you formed an intention and you really didn't mean to say it, it's not right. It's a sin, but it's not a mortal sin. If you do something out of habit, addiction, or compulsion, you're not doing so freely. Although you might be liable for the decisions you made that got you in that condition. Mortal sins are not as easy to commit as some people think. Fortunately, most of those people go to confession. For many others, mortal sins are much more a part of their life than they know. And unfortunately, many of them do not go to confession regularly. Over the last few years, I found myself repeatedly making references, often in talking about going to Holy Communion, that one needs to be in a state of grace. I'm aware that this is not as understood as it once was. In order to be in a state of grace, one does not have unconfessed mortal sins. If one goes to communion, knowing that one is not in a state of grace, knowing that one has unconfessed mortal sins, for instance, intentionally not going to church regularly, then going to communion itself is seriously wrong. If all of this sounds harsh or mean, I'm sorry. I feel like the doctor who has to deliver the diagnosis of cancer. Maybe I can work on my bedside manner, but that doesn't change your condition. And the point to note is not the fatal disease. The point to note is that there's a cure. The only question is, will we take it? We made a solemn oath at baptism to practice the faith as the Catholic Church teaches it. We renew that commitment every time we come to communion. That is what this means. Parents at every baptism make an additional solemn oath to teach their children to believe and do all that the Catholic Church teaches. First and foremost, by their own example. We need to practice the faith we profess. We need to faithfully follow the rules of behavior revealed by our divine Savior and authoritatively taught by His church filled with the Holy Spirit. I fail at this. Everybody fails at this. Bing. That's why God gave us confession. And if we seriously fail, we absolutely need to go to confession. And until we do, we should not go to communion. Hey, the good news is In order to make this right, you don't have to go to Toledo or the Sahara Desert. You don't have to cut off your hand. You don't have to eat dirt. All you need to do is go to confession. Although I am sure some people would prefer to eat dirt. We have communal opportunities this week, Tuesday at 1, Thursday at 7. There'll be lots of priests, many of them you don't know and don't know you. Every Saturday at 2:30, I'm over there. I'll make an appointment anytime with anybody. Call me. Go somewhere else. Maybe you'll see somebody from here sneaking there with you. I say that with great affection. Go ahead. I don't care where you go. Go! Repentance isn't about getting pushed down. It's about being lifted up. It's not about feeling guilty. It's about getting free. It isn't just about setting the past right. It's about being equipped for the future. And the gardener said to the master, "Leave the tree for a short time. Let me cultivate it with my grace. Let me fertilize it with my living word. Then, if they heed me not, if it does not bear the fruit you require, go ahead, cut it down." That short time is upon us now. Go to confession for the health of your spiritual life. Go to confession. Especially if you haven't been to confession in a while, go to confession. And most urgently, if you have unconfessed mortal sin, go to confession. The love of the Father that sent His Son pleads with you. The blood of Jesus pleads with you. The purifying fire of the Holy Spirit pleads with you. Go to confession. The heart of God pleads with you. This is the way. Take my mercy.